Our brothers reading at 2 Corinthians 4. God commenced this train of thought in my heart. Verse 6, 2 Corinthians 4. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The word given, not there in the Greek. He has shined in our hearts unto the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Praise the name of the Lord. The excellency of the power. You know, beloved, the excellency of the power of God is undoubtedly the glory of God. It's His excellence there. There's nothing more excellent than glory. That is love par excellence. It's a very, very wonderful and glorious thing that God has shined in our hearts out of this light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And this, beloved, is the answer to the Lord's own prayer in John 17, which you will remember is phrased thus at the end of the chapter, verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with thee where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. You see that glory is a result of love. You understand this. And he says, I want them to be with me, to behold my glory. And Paul here shows us how this happens whilst we're still in this body called an earthen vessel. So whilst we're still here, remember, beloved, that the Lord Jesus now has the light of the knowledge of the glory of God on his countenance. We shall remember that the revelation says that his countenance shone above the brightness of the noonday sun. Now, this is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in his face. And Paul says it's shining in our hearts. Is that right? Now, you know that when I ask that question, I'm not challenging the scripture. But I'm asking you whether it's right in your life. This great light of the knowledge of the glory of God in his face. Tremendous. I love to think of it. As we're told in Romans 6 in the day that he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. And this is what happened. The glory of God came into that precious, precious form, that dead, recumbent figure. And the glory of God came into it. And now think of the light that must have absolutely transformed that tomb. Must have shone right out of the darkness. All the dark, still deadness of that rocky tomb, breathless. And then the glory of God came into him. My, it must have been dazzling. I'd have given anything to have been there. Of course, I was really. I know it in my bones, you know. I know all this in my bones that I'm talking about. Praise God. It's a sort of an ache in my bones. I don't know whether you get there. It's not called arthritis. It's called glory. It's an association, an affinity, an identity, a sympathy. It's that knowledge of this light, its glory inside. Must have been a very wonderful thing, brother. And that's shining in your heart. Is that right?
Yeah.
Praise God. And it's the treasure that we have in these earthen vessels. It takes us back before the world, for he said he had this glory with the Father in verse 5 of John 17. Glorified are me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So it takes us back in that glory to eternity before ever there was any suffering, before ever there was any sin, before Calvary it takes us. That is Calvary's art working on the earth. Glory to his name. Isn't this a marvelous thing? It takes us to resurrection moment. I won't say morning. But resurrection moment. You don't think I'm unorthodox, but I think there was a resurrection moment. You think it out. You think of what happened when he didn't lie there in a dead old body. You think of it. The body came alive. There was a resurrection moment. And blessed be the name of the Lord, just the precise moment, I don't know. But it took place. And think of it, that awakening from the dead, that rising, beloved, from the darkness. Hallelujah. You think of it. You got there. You got that in yourself. Got that inside. No. You see, you can't ever be depressed if you got this. You understand this? You can't be in darkness if you got this. No, can you? See, you can't be in all these states that so many people seem to be in. Have you got this? This, you've forever got this moment of awakening in you. You've forever got resurrection in you. And the moment of resurrection and the thrill of it, it's all there on the face of Jesus Christ. Do you ever live there? Do you always live there? I change the ever to always, it gives a better sense. This is what the Lord intends you to do, beloved. Do you know I sometimes say that I live in regeneration? I'm always living at the point of regeneration. But well, he hasn't grown much, has he? Well, no, well, perhaps I haven't. There it is. But I know what I mean. And I don't run into the distresses and troubles that so many people run into. Because of this, I live in the moment of quickening and resurrection. Regeneration for all the same. I don't want to tie you up in your theology, but they are. You have to relearn your theology if you don't know this. This is the tremendous thing. Glory, glory, glory. And you see, it's there. And then to think, beloved, too, that it's the great future glory. And we're there. The light of the knowledge of that glory is in our hearts and shining in our hearts too. Not failing. It's not failed. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've got a veil over your face, going back to the preceding chapter 3. laid upon your heart in verse 15. Have you? You have a veil in your heart? 3:15. You know what the veil of the heart is, don't you? Verse 4 of chapter 4. It's the blinded mind. That's the veil of the heart. The blinded mind. Glory. A mind that can't see. What a tremendous thing. You know it's better to see with your mind than see with your eyes. You know that, don't you? That's right. We'd all rather lose the sight of our eyes than lose the reasoning and sight of our mind, wouldn't we? In the natural. Wouldn't we? Of course we would. This is the great vision, beloved, and we see him there with the mind absolutely unveiled. And if your heart has turned to the Lord, this is what's happened. And you can see and know and live in this glorious thing. What a treasure this is to us, beloved. Oh, this treasure. Isn't the glory I'm going to enter into? There's a lot of people going around the country preaching the glory that we're going to enter into. Oh, beloved, let me beg of you to get your eyes off yourself. Even in this, this is a pretext to get your eyes on yourself. I said, cheer up, it's terrible now, we're going to glory and honor and all this business. Oh, get your eyes off yourself, beloved. If I may plead with you to accept the secret of spontaneous living, get your eye off yourself. And see the face of Jesus Christ in your heart. It's what he's entered into. That's right. If you can see that, beloved, you haven't got one moment's hesitation to enter into joy and glory straight away. It's there. This is the thing that Wesley was always singing about, the Spirit witnessing in our hearts. It's the Spirit bringing all this into us. It's the witness. It's the proof. It's the testimony. It's the record. You can use whatever word you want. That it's all so. That it's all been done. It's all accomplished. You see, God brings it all in our hearts now. It's not the fact that we've got mortal bodies that stops us flying off into it sort of thing. Isn't that right? And it isn't a hard, terrible slog. It's a glory in this wonderful, wonderful truth. Christ, we're told in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians, is the image of God. Is the image of God. We don't preach ourselves. But Christ Jesus, the Lord. So don't feel yourself, will you? And don't pray yourself. And don't think yourself. And don't see yourself. Because as sure as you do, that's what you'll preach. That's what you'll do. But if it's him, and you're in love with him, and you're looking upon his face, well, 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 what a difference it all makes, beloved, to have this treasure in these earthen vessels of ours. Now, in this glory, beloved, it's not going to be done away. You'll look at look into the 7th verse of the 3rd chapter. The glory of Moses' countenance was going to be done away. But not the glory of Jesus' countenance in our hearts. Never going to be done away. It's going to be there all the time. Oh, beloved, I don't suppose really our minds can grasp the great things of God. as they're going to be in the future for us. I don't suppose any one of us could perfectly explain, satisfactorily tell us everything about the future state into which we're going. But let there be raised up some prophets among us and some preachers who can tell us about the wonder of the glory of Christ in the life now. I believe that they will have transformed churches and the world too. And men will flock to it for life. Most people, when they look inside, can see nothing but misery, forebodings of doom, clouds of gloom, unrelieved blackness. But beloved, when we see this, now beloved, this treasure that we have, it's most powerful. The excellency of the powers of God in verse 7 of chapter 4. And this is why, beloved, as we go on, we're troubled on every side except the inside. That's right. We're troubled on every side except the inside. Praise the name of the Lord. God's come to see to it that the inside's all right. Is that right?
Yes.
Amen. But we're troubled on every side, you see, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can. In our body. Now the Lord wants us to come here, beloved, because you see, this excellency of power is a tremendous thing. It embraces the cross as well. There was really, and you must all understand this, and we must all grip this very firmly, nothing more glorious about the Lord Jesus than Calvary. Nothing more glorious. And this excellent power that took him to the cross, beloved, to deal with our inward state, to efface the old man and put in the new glory. Well, now, it was a wonderful power, and we were going to carry about in our bodies this great crucifixion. We've said this before, I believe, when we've been together. It's the actual word crucifixion, the actual putting to death, the act of crucifixion. That word died. It only comes once in the whole scripture. It's here. The actual putting to death of the Lord Jesus, the act of dying. We carry that about. We carry a calendar around in our body. Well. If we carry Calvary around in our body, that just about puts short shrift to lots of things that the world would try and put on us, or the devil would try and put on us, doesn't it? Glory. We carry it around with us. And if we do that, then the life of Jesus is made manifest in our body. Isn't this a glorious thing? Faith, we've got his glory, we've got his light, and we've got his life. Glory, glory, glory. Now, beloved, then, we need to go right through and know this wonderful thing. Because the Spirit of the Lord, in the end of the third chapter, has come to bring us to the place where we change into that same image. From glory to glory. We read that Jesus Christ is the image of God, and we read that verse 6, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, and in the face of Jesus Christ, That's how we're changed from glory to glory, in our experiences. We behold this as in a mirror. We see it. Mirrored there for us in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, in our hearts. Now, beloved, this is a wonderful thing. In other words, if you're going to be changed from glory to glory, you must behold that in your heart. Understand it. You're not changed from glory to glory just simply because of the Holy Ghost, but simply because the Holy Ghost will keep you focused, even as you're facing the Lord Jesus Christ in your own heart. Beloved, the thing to learn to do in this life is to turn in unto Jesus. Now I know that there's a wonderful verse in Hebrews 12 which says, looking off unto Jesus. And so people say, well now look, if you don't like the inward look and the outward look, try the upward look. And all that sort of thing. Good preaching, you know, sounds all right. Real cliches they are. But here it is. Listen, I'm advising you to turn in. We've all become introverts. Well, now, if I'm an example of an introvert, I've been turning in for years. Praise God. For anybody in growing toenail, anything like that. And here's the big thing. You've got to learn, and I know this, that the Spirit of God has taught you to turn in. I turn in unto the shepherd in my heart. I turn in unto the voice of the shepherd. I turn in for his face in my own heart. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He weans you off everyone else, everything else. And it's all there. And just because it says looking off to Jesus in Hebrews, well, it's in relationship, you see, to what he's been talking about in the 11th chapter. Look at Abraham, look at the elders, look at them, look at them, look at them. He says, now look right off to Jesus. He's in a world of his own. He's in a class of his own. You see, that's precisely all that the writer is saying. It's good to have a look at these other fellows, bless them. But we look at the Lord, hallelujah. That's right, you see, we turn our fun.
All finished.
That's right, brother. And he's in our hearts, you see. When we learn this, beloved, we shall skip like harts and roes on the mountains, the spices. No, we shall. Inwardly, glory. I know you don't have to buy tambourines to do this, but the fact of the matter is that you can do it.
Right.
And it's there. And we're changed from glory to glory, sisters. I'm expecting you to change. If you haven't changed the next time I come and see you all, then you're dying here in Exeter, dying. Or wherever you come from. It's got to be from glory to glory. I don't mean to say you've got to be able to jump 2 inches higher next time than you can this. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm talking about, beloved, is this. That this great glory of God should suffuse your life. Suffuse it. Fill it. Amen. You see, when our brother was reading in that great first letter to of Peter, you know this great and glorious truth that in verse 11 of the first chapter, or verse 10, the prophets have inquired about his salvation and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, seeing what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Amen.
not just for him, but for us as well. Now then, beloved, I trust that we're all in this great glory, are we? In this great glory. A little earlier today, some of us that were together, we had a while in prayer, and it happened to be one of those mornings when, as far as I was concerned, I was in New Jerusalem. And I looked at it again just before I came down tonight. And this glorious truth, having the glory of God with all about her. The glory of God. What a wonderful thing it is. Her light, you see, next to glory comes light. In 21:11 of Revelation, if you want to know where I'm looking, she had the glory of God. Her light was like a stone, most precious. Most precious. Hallelujah. She's got the glory, beloved. And I know this, that this glory of God, well, it's something that just more and more eats into your very vitals. It's something, beloved, that can't be dimmed. It's something that can't be removed. Praise God. And in order for it to shine brighter, don't be surprised about this, you've got to bear in your body the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this doesn't mean to say you've got to bear and feel the pains of the nail that's being driven through your hands and feet. I know one good brother that had to be delivered from that myth. That was all demons in him. I know one or two who had to be delivered from that. But it does mean this, beloved, that if you and I are going about in this world and we bear about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, then everything has to add to the glory within. And because of the crucifixion in the outward, the glory within can shine out. Amen. And we must see this, and see this very clearly. And this is why he says, as he goes down that same Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4, reading. We'd better turn to it again, and we'll get exactly what he does say. In 2 Corinthians 4, he says this. All things, in verse 15, are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving and giving of many, redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And this swallows up in a tremendous manner, beyond what we might have, the interpretations we might have put upon it in the past, that 17th verse of the 5th chapter. About old things pass away. Amen. We are inclined only to think about sins and sinful habits and ways. Means far more than that. Means far more than that. Old things passing away. Old positions we used to hold. Old thoughts about ourselves in the flesh. And I don't mean the ethically bad sense either. They're passing away all the time. Amen.
Our bodies, beloved, are wonderful, wonderful bodies to be temples of the Spirit, but we've got to bear about the crucifixion in them. Hallelujah. And we've got to see, if you look at the opening part of the fifth chapter, which you must do at your leisure, that we're looking for new bodies. All together. It doesn't matter about what's happening in this old body very much. Praise the name of the Lord. We can see that they're only Golgothas, really. That's where the crucifixion took place. That's all they are. Their place is outside the city wall. That's where they are. Glory. Our spirit's inside. Our souls are inside. Hallelujah. And moving in this great accession to the throne, beloved. Is that right? This is what it's got to be. The glory. All the glory. In our souls. Well now, let the Lord bring this out of our hearts in all our experiences. Because everything, now listen, don't misunderstand it, everything is working for you. Don't try and dodge anything. Everything is working for you. A great weight of glory. A far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. If you think sometimes that outward circumstances and events weigh pretty heavily on you, think, my word, they're nothing. These are like feathers to the weight of glory. I'm going to have it in the picture. Glory. Now, this is your attitude to adopt to life. And if Paul didn't just have this by revelation only and was trotting out words like a gramophone record. He was living in this. He was living in it. That's why it's living to us. And he knew this thing. And he said, I'm looking at things that can't be seen. I'm looking at the things that aren't visible. Amen. What were the things that weren't visible? Chiefly the glory of the light of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ. Within. That's what he was looking at. He kept his eyes there. Do you see that? That's where he saw Jesus. He saw Jesus Christ inside him. He wasn't looking up there for him. All these sort of nice preaching cliches, you want to get out of these sort of things and see what God is doing, beloved. Isn't it true that it's Christ in us which is the hope of glory?
Yes.
Amen. It's all in us, not out there, in here. Hallelujah. Well, when I get talking myself, I feel I want to get up and grab something and start dancing around the room. Amen. That's how I feel. I have to restrain myself, this sober old man.
Why?
Well, not just grab one. I want to grab everybody in my arm. But this is the tremendous thing. It's truly resurrection morning, you see. Yeah. You're back in the quickenings and the enlivenings and everything. And God intended you to live here, beloved. And you must cultivate it. It's a habit. You've got to cultivate this. It's no good you looking outside. You'll find that you will be brought into circumstances, my beloved brothers and sisters, where if you haven't learned this, you will, praise God, you'll learn it there. But you don't say, yes, you will. Well, the Holy Ghost is very painstaking. He'll take you through. But it's better to learn it now so that when you get there, you haven't got to spend 12 months slogging away trying to learn it. And move into this great and wonderful experience. Hallelujah. I know it more than hand clapping, though you can clap hands and all that. It's It's a great, great, awe-inspiring wonder. It's a delight and a joy, and it's the radiance of the face of Christ. Well, I'm stopping because there's so much more one could say, and one could never cease to multiply words to express it. Hallelujah.